Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is May 13, 2015. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing down at 18,060, the NASDAQ up at 4981, and the S&P down at 2988. Last week, we discussed takeaways from prior shows. Tonight, we are looking at the entrepreneurial spirit and purchasing support. So you'll have to stay tuned to hear what that is about. We are live. We will take your questions. Judy Ann's in the studio with us this evening and will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you could still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number for questions this evening is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight, we are going to look at and discuss the entrepreneurial spirit with our guest, Don Jean. He's co-founder of FocusedBuyer.com, former executive, consultant, and innovator. We will look at the traits of an entrepreneur, formulating business ideas, carrying them out, and examples of those, including how FocusedBuyer.com was formulated to help individuals, businesses, and nonprofits in their purchasing processes for buyers and sellers, as well as protections, training, and education for users, providing a 360-degree solution. And I know that our country is made up of quite a bit of business leaders, businessmen, business women, entrepreneurs who want to have a business. So we're fortunate tonight to have Don Jean join us so he can talk to us a little bit of what has driven him to do such things. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here on Your Financial Choices.
Thank you very much for being here. I also have sitting in the studio with me this evening someone I know, dear, who's a strong supporter of Your Financial Choices, and that's my husband, Carl Siebert.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Carl has had a career in purchasing as well, and we were talking to Don about some of the things that were going on, and Carl happened to be interested in all of this as well. So we invited him to join us in the conversation. So Don, let's start off by talking a bit about your background, your education, career, to kind of set the tone for how this has all evolved.
So Lori, I was born and raised in the Lehigh Valley, and I've lived in the Valley for 60 of my 65 years. I've married for 43 years with two grown children. I attended Phillipsburg High School and played three competitive sports there. And went on to Cornell University and played two competitive sports there. Received my bachelor's in business and my MBA from Cornell in a five-year program. And moved on to work at Ingersoll Rand Company globally. Spent 25 years there, 20 years in the Phillipsburg plant and manufacturing facility, and 5 years with their global procurement director role. And then I left and worked for BOC Gases and ran their North American supply chain for 8 years. From there, I did some independent consulting. And in the last 6 years, we initiated the innovative idea of FocusedBuyer.com and have been working on it since.
Well, that's cool. And I'm interested to hear more of your story. And this is great because in the Lehigh Valley, we also have our listeners in Phillipsburg. So this is a big shout out to our New Jersey listeners as well. And a hometown boy, so they'll be excited about that. When we started talking, one of the things I like to bring to the show are ideas for financial choices for people, but also ideas that are driven by passion. And so much of what we do in our career and our career choices, when we are passionate about it, can really motivate us and move us forward and help us be successful in what we're doing. And when I met you, I really saw a glimpse of that true entrepreneurial spirit. So for others out there thinking about starting a business, can you give some insights on what drives you? Because you didn't necessarily have to do this, but I can, you're always thinking, I know that. So, What can you kind of share with our audience about a business, starting business?
Well, early in my background, I lost my father. My father died when I was 10. Oh. And I was left with not a lot of money in the family. My mother was a homemaker, and my father didn't have any life insurance. So I looked to earn additional spending money by selling greeting cards door to door and delivering newspapers and taking out trash and doing lawn mowing and snow shoveling and golf caddying, I quickly learned that the value of a dollar and how important it is to get as much value as you can for your money. And during schools, I've always enjoyed the math and science and doing projects and trying to innovate and see how they're different and how I could be different to solve those. During my business career, I was always looking for ways to improve upon processes. I noticed that many of the projects were done in isolation, and having played team sports all my life, competitive team sports, I felt it was better to have a bunch of folks around a table trying to solve things. And quite frankly, I've never met an idea that is really a bad idea. Every idea is an opportunity. And every question is a good question, and that's the way I've approached the career in innovation. And somehow, I just picked up this innovative spirit to solve things, you know, get into the details, look broadly for solutions, tap people who could help.
Interesting. So it for me, because we have a daughter who's also an athlete, and I have seen what goes into being an athlete. It's the discipline. It's being able to take instruction, but also be a leader at the same time and working together as a team for the benefit of, you know, that goal at the end, whatever that might be. So you also had a traditional role working in corporate America as well. So in that, though, you also developed that innovative spirit and innovation, and it's interesting to me how you can see all of these different aspects of someone's life and how they come together, and all of a sudden you have that aha moment, like, this is where it is all leading me to. So,
well, in my 40 years throughout my career, I've had the opportunity to be in functional roles as a buyer or as a purchasing agent, in materials management, as manufacturing manager, and in sales and marketing and finance. So I've had a broad understanding of the way things work and, you know, what's important to get a job done. And I've always been driven to make sure that the job gets done. I think that's probably the competitive part of what I've learned as a youngster.
Yeah. Well, I was competitive as well, and coming from a big family, and also having to work to have that extra spending money for buying clothes or the extra things that you need as well. Folks, tonight we are talking about traits of the entrepreneur, talking about starting a business, working in a business, and also examples of that, as Don Gene, our guest, is also the founder or co-founder of FocusedBuyer.com. which is an opportunity for those folks who are interested in starting a business, who may not always have the tools or resources if, you know, they're initially starting out, or if you're someone who needs kind of a resources and access to resources, this is an option for that. So we're going to give that as an example as we go through the show, talking a little bit more about Don's experiences, making sure when you're going into business that you're doing things properly. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We have as a guest this evening, Don Jean, co-founder of FocusedBuyer.com and entrepreneur and businessman and a former Phillipsburg High School athlete and Cornell as well. And we were just talking at the beginning of the show, some of the traits of, you know, entrepreneurs, business leaders, what leads us to our mission in life, our careers, et cetera, and some of those traits. Don, if you don't mind, can we talk for a minute about how you came up with the concept of FocusedBuyer.com? Because I know it was something you, in all of your careers with the different corporations that you worked for, and you were seeing needs for certain things and understanding how processes worked, you came up with this idea. So it's for the everyday consumer as well as businesses and nonprofits. So can you explain how this idea came about and how you developed it? And this is also an example for other folks out there who may be thinking about having a business idea, wanting to go into business, kind of how it developed, if you don't mind sharing that with us.
Sure, Lori. My partner and I together have 85 years of business experience in the world of purchasing and manufacturing and operations. And during that time frame, we also were independent consultants. So we got to see a lot of interesting issues with small, medium-sized businesses and nonprofits and even larger corporations in certain areas. We also had the opportunity to, during our career, to install many software packages, very expensive to install packages, very expensive to maintain packages, expensive to license the packages, expensive to upgrade the packages. And they were overly complex to use. So in the combination of the practical process experience and also the software packaged installation experience and use experience, we decided that we had a lot of experience and expertise. And when we died, okay, or we just retired and went off into the sunset, all that we learned was going to vaporize. So the question we said is, who really can use this expertise? And it came to us that it's the folks who are doing their purchasing who wear many hats. So purchasing is not just one of their hats. And you find those folks that wear many hats in small, medium-sized businesses, in nonprofits, in startups, in social organizations, small public entities. And you also find it in the everyday consumer, who's probably working a regular job in addition to buying what they need for their home and things of that nature. So we said we could put something together, okay, that would be a business tool, a professional purchasing tool for all of those folks to help them do that better. And that's how we got started.
So let's talk for a second when we talk about helping folks do purchasing better. Let's give it an example where you might have, a small business and they want to buy something. They could be competing with other businesses or they're not sure how to do that purchase process. You know, give us an example of how this applies.
Well, generally speaking, all of these many hat businesses and organizations, they have scarce capital. They have limited time. They have really no full-time employees that are working on a specific skill. They use credit cards a lot to make their purchases. They get involved in all kinds of issues around how they spend their money and tracking their money. Their accounting is usually a shoebox full of receipts that go to the accountants at the end of the year. And there's little transaction accountability or visibility. So what we decided to do is to put some structure in that process. So we created templates that folks can follow to take them completely through the purchasing process from the time that they have an idea that they need to buy something to the time that they actually pay for it and making sure that they get the value for what they paid for.
So you could have someone right now who might be thinking about starting up a house painting business.
Sure.
And they would need supplies. They may order in bulk. Right now, they would go to the phone book and look for a wholesaler or something like that.
Right. That's how they would do it today. It's an unstructured process. You never know if you really get your best value, okay, unless you've put it out there for several suppliers and sellers to take a look at what your need is. And then to do some negotiations and communications and then select the supplier or seller of your choice. And then cut your own contract with your own terms and conditions and your own method of payment.
Let's talk for a second. If someone doesn't look at terms and conditions or method of payment, how could they get into trouble if they're not following that now? Because they don't know. They're a new business person. They might not know.
Right. Well, it's estimated that fraud and things that happen with suppliers and sellers is in the neighborhood of $65 billion. A year just in the United States and translates to trillions of dollars overseas. Even with the older consumers, it's in the neighborhood of $3 billion a year, okay, in terms of fraud and scams that people are up against. And the issue becomes, do you have a contract? I mean, the everyday consumer, they've never really had any way to create their own purchase order contract until we've created FocusBuyer.com for them. So now they can create a contract. We give them sample terms and conditions that they can use as is, or they can modify to suit. And we give them alternative methods of payment, including an escrow payment process, where the money can be held in escrow until the supplier or seller satisfies the contract processes. I mean, when you do get into disputes, and they happen every day, in fact, they probably happened in the last 5 or 10 minutes that we've been talking, and you get into a small claims court, and the first question the judge asks is, what does the contract say? And if a buyer doesn't have a contract and you've signed the seller's contract, then you're obligated to the seller's terms and conditions of that contract. The second question that the judge asks is, tell me about or show me the performance of both parties to the contract. Well, that's really been a he said, she said type of argument, and it leaves it up to the discretion of the judge to make the decision. But with our system, we created a template where you have interactivity of both the supplier and seller and the buyer to the requirements of the contract. So now the buyer or the everyday consumer can print out the contract, it's their contract, print out the terms and conditions, and print out the performance, all documented, and hand it to the judge.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had an example where we had a friend, and Carl, we only have a minute, but who went and hired a painter, and what ended up happening with her little arrangement?
Yeah, that was an example where not only did you not have terms and conditions in place, but the understanding of the scope, where what are you buying? And I think that all becomes part of those contract documents, is describe what are you expecting so you can figure out what is that performance that you're trying to achieve.
So she entered into an arrangement with someone, and then it just spiraled.
No scope, no terms and conditions.
And what she thought was going to be, I think, a $500 job ended up being $1,500 so far, and then she had to nix it and stop it at that point because she didn't know how to almost.
Right.
She didn't know how to unwind what she'd started.
Right.
So it's something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. So that's just a very simple example, like at the consumer level. So we'll talk about more examples and more ideas around starting your own business, being an entrepreneur, when we come back from our next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 8810, back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. I also want to mention that podcasts from prior shows are also available at wdiy.org. If you have or just a new listener, or perhaps missed a show, or find a topic that you might have some interest in, they are all listed on WDIY.org or through yourfinancialchoices.com. And in particular, I want to mention a show we did with Buddy Lesavoy several weeks ago. I wish I could remember the date, and I should have thought to look it up. But Buddy Lesavoy is an attorney that came on, Don, and talked about business structure. So at some point I want to talk about business structure, but I just wanted to mention that if you are someone who is thinking about starting up a business, you want to make sure that you see an attorney to talk about what business structure you might need to protect yourself from, you know, liability and anything else that may occur in business transition or if something happens to you. So right now, we've been talking with Don Jean, entrepreneur, innovator, who co-founded FocusedBuyer.com to help folks who may be going into business themselves. It may just be individual consumers, or it may be nonprofits, business associations, folks who need a method for making purchases, maybe selling as well. Don?
The site is interactive, so if you're a small business, you may use it as a buyer, and you also may use it as a seller. It's interactive between independent buyers and independent sellers, all on the same platform, all on the internet.
Okay. So one of the things we were talking about before the break was, you know, just giving an example for a consumer at the most simple level. Neil just found Buddy Lesavoy was on April 1st. So April 1st for business structure. That's talking about LLCs, S-Corps, C-Corps, sole proprietors, that type of thing. April 1st podcast. So we were talking about at the simplest level for maybe even a consumer, this could apply. And I know that when we first talked, I even said, you know, what people don't recognize is sometimes even we as just an independent, maybe owning our own home, if I have a landscaper come in and take my trees down, it costs like $8,000. That's a pretty big purchase. So when we look at terms and conditions, and sometimes people don't understand what the scope is, Carl and I were talking about that with someone we know who didn't understand the scope. And Carl, you said sometimes we get so used to just clicking the buttons.
Yeah, that every day, almost every day, we could be agreeing to terms and conditions when we open up a new program on the computer, when we buy something. Sometimes when we buy a ticket as we go into the theater, we've just made a purchase, and we may have implicitly taken on terms and conditions by doing that, or a ride, or sort of bungee jumping. You know, we've given up things by doing that. But also, and this is your comment there before with that example with the painting, you know, could you make that other person sign T's and C's, you know, the supplier? And, you know, typically you go into it with free will. So they can always say, I'm not going to sign it. But you can always say, I'm not going to use you. So ultimately you have that leverage, and you need to take that responsibility.
So it's about becoming more proactive, which is what the show always talks about, being proactive, not reactive. And it could help you, as you said, you don't want to end up in small claims court. And maybe you wouldn't if you were proactive to begin with.
Correct.
Because you had the term set up already in this system.
Right. So the sample terms range from all the way from receiving an acknowledgement from the seller and supplier that they've received the purchase order contract and that they agreed to the purchase order contract, all the way through warranty and what you would get if the product or service didn't live up to its expectations within the contract. In addition to those legal terms and conditions, we've also have a template that allows the buyer, whether it's a business buyer or an organizational buyer or the everyday consumer, to move through the process of what it is that they're trying to buy. Okay, so that it gives them clues in terms of how they should put in content to describe and define what it is that they want to purchase, the commercial aspects of what they're trying to buy. And in addition to that, the site carries a non-disclosure agreement process where the buyer can send out a request for information or a skeleton request for a proposal or a quote and ask the sellers to sign and forward back the non-disclosure agreement. This would be particularly interesting if you were a startup and you had a new product and you wanted to protect some rights on the product.
So if you wanted to manufacture something and you didn't want someone to jump ahead and take your idea and manufacture it themselves.
Right.
So then you have a contract, and if they were to proceed in such a manner, back to our small claims court example, I, as the buyer, have my terms and conditions and the signature of that person that I was requesting the information from.
Exactly.
So, okay. All right, let's go back to a little bit about the background of how this started. So, again, kind of the development of a business idea. So you were saying a bit at the beginning of the show that, you know, you had worked in corporate America and had gained all of this knowledge. And I wanted to read something that's at the bottom of your email, and it's age, experience, and expertise in combination with technology knows no boundaries. And I thought that was really powerful, because especially as we get older, we especially think it's powerful. But there's such an element today of, you know, we need to bring the, you know, so many people think that young folks understand technology so much better, but sometimes they don't always have the experience or the knowledge to always apply it in a way where you've been around the block. You've seen some of the pitfalls of purchasing go awry and that type of thing. So age, experience, and expertise in combination with technology knows no boundaries. And also not letting that knowledge die with you and kind of still contributing. So let's talk for a minute about how someone's background can provide business opportunities for an entrepreneur. Can you kind of, I know that's a little bit general, but.
Well, the experience of my partner and I, in addition to the 85 years, we've been all over the world in just about every country creating contracts and vetting suppliers and sellers and buying things. So that helped us in designing and coming up with what we were trying to accomplish. The expertise, all facets of the business with operations and manufacturing and finance and customer contracts, we touched every aspect of the business. So that was also something that we could use as an ingredient into the development of the process. Our education, both of us have business degrees, and both of us have our master's in business as well. So we have the education and educational background to help us through some of the issues. And then the technology, as I said before, we've both been involved in installations of a dozen or more really complicated, really expensive software technologies. So we know all the strengths and weaknesses of those, and we were able to put the strengths in our software and eliminate the weaknesses as we developed the process. And then, just from all those years of experience, we have a great network of of resources. So, you know, accountants and lawyers and students and developers and programmers, mentors, incubator people that work in incubators, different organizations that we've belonged to for many years, such as the Institute of Supply Management based out of Phoenix, and I belong to the local chapter here in the Lehigh Valley, have belonged since 1973. And then, of course, the Internet came along, and the Internet became an enabler. That's something that folks who have age, experience, and expertise weren't necessarily introduced to until maybe the mid to late 90s. So it's been very helpful, and it's key to rolling out our particular software platform. But it's still new to us, and we're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas younger folks, you know, it's something they've grown up with.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Thank you, Neil. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have with me in the studio this evening Don Jean, co-founder of FocusedBuyer.com. And we are talking about that platform and its availability to folks if they're interested in buying and or selling and having a platform that will help provide some protections for you as you're going through the process. Maybe you're starting a new business. Maybe you're a nonprofit and you're low on resources and you need some venue or vehicle to streamline your purchasing processes and to provide some protections. Don and the co-founder, your partner in crime, I've forgotten.
Tom Middleton,
have come up with a solution that they have launched. And we were talking right before the break about, you know, what goes into the development of a concept as we are weaving the entrepreneurial spirit into the show, talking about some of the end products, the business ideas that can come through entrepreneurship, innovation, etc. A lot of people want to start their own business. They don't always know how. One of the things you had mentioned about all of these experiences you had from the time you were a little kid selling door-to-door newspapers and cards and kind of teaching the value of a dollar and then moving on, delivering newspapers and then moving on to college and in math class and science class, trying to say, you know, what can I do with this and where can I make a difference? Really taking advantage of every opportunity that was given to you to, you know, move your career along. And there are people out there right now, Don, who are probably working in corporate jobs who think, I don't know if I want to keep doing this forever. But rather than sit back and probably stress out get stressed out about where they are in their career, they could be taking advantage of everything that they're being exposed to because you saw this opportunity over your years of experience and then still decided to do something when you probably could have retired.
Retirement was certainly in the clouds for me, and I thought about it a lot. But my constitution isn't such that that I could retire. I needed that mental stimulation. I needed that interactivity with folks who are in businesses and organizations and the everyday consumer. And I have a goal that, you know, I'd like everyone to be able to spend their money wiser and to spend it safer.
Let's talk about that for a minute, if you don't mind. So about spending it safer, because we know that we've seen that there's some fraud out there. And sometimes in smaller organizations, they can't always have the internal controls that a big corporation might have. And when we talk about internal controls, folks, we're talking about having a separate bookkeeping department, separate accounts payable from accounts receivable, who is authorizing or, you know, purchase orders and that type of thing. So sometimes in smaller organizations, we don't have the internal controls. So let's talk for a bit about purchasing safer. Where would that apply?
So again, small, medium-sized businesses and nonprofits and startups and social organizations and the consumers, they don't have access to affordable technology. I mean, most of the technology is going to cost you, if it's big technology, it's going to cost you millions of dollars a year, or it's going to cost you $50,000 to $100,000 a year to roll out. We developed the technology so that on the buy side, it's essentially free for small businesses and nonprofits and social organizations to use. The only costs that they have to invest in are server capacity costs, which are really out-of-pocket costs for us. So we've developed the template in a way, okay, that allows these folks to be very definitive about what they're buying. And we say the template is so simple that, you know, your grandmothers can use it, okay, which is true. You use it once or twice, and, you know, you become pretty darn good at it. It's a situation where folks don't know what they don't know because they've really never had the opportunity to have affordable technology in front of them. To use our technology is no downside. Okay, we've created an extract file process so that you can extract the data into a spreadsheet format, and you can analyze how you spent money, and you can upload it into your financials. So there's nothing, you know, it's a separate standalone process, but yet it can be intertwined with your other business processes that you have to have.
But an organization that is smaller that may not have, you know, all of the departments that would prevent misuse of funds or misuse of, you know, invoicing or something like that. When we talk about safety, it also provides a process for oversight.
It does. So if we get into all the various aspects of what can go wrong, okay, in the world of purchasing and payment. In fact, nearly 50% of all the fraud and all the embezzlement and all the other illegalities that happen to small businesses and organizations, nonprofits, happen in the purchase through payment process. So it's a huge chunk of money, and it's happening all the time. $40,000 embezzled by, you know, the church secretary. You know, $100,000, you know, defrauded by the small business owner. $4 million by embezzled from a mega church. And it goes on and on and on. And you read about it in the paper every day. So our system, we set it up so that it can be used in a decentralized fashion, so that if you have a maintenance person who's taking care of buying the stuff that you need for your maintenance and of your factory or in your machine tools, that person can create the request for proposal. And before it even goes out to the public, you can have a policy and procedure where it must be shared with a supervisor for approval. And our system allows that transaction to take place online. And then with the approval comes, you know, the offers that you get. And then you can select the offer you want to do business with, and you can create a draft purchase order. The draft purchase order then can be routed to your supervisor for approval, or routed even higher to another supervisor for approval. So the system is all interactive, in terms of allowing folks to have oversight of it. And we have a corporate, what we call a corporate process, where let's say that there are five people who wear multiple hats, but all of them have the right to make purchases. They all can be tied to a particular supervisor, and the supervisor can actually log into the system and look at everything that that person's doing. So if you use our system, which is the templates and the contracting process, and along with our escrow payment process, buyers can't cheat sellers, sellers can't cheat buyers, and buyers and sellers can't conspire to cheat businesses and organizations, because all the data, all the content is captured and is there for historical evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carl, can you give any examples of purchasing that you've run into or that would be applicable on this?
Yeah. Well, a couple comments that there's also an unintentional waste of money that happens. And I think that the system you're talking about, Don, and others similar to it, it's having that process, going through steps. And the having the steps, making sure people go through the steps, that can save a lot on waste. And the thing I mentioned earlier about scope, you know, that's another way to make sure that that you get what you pay for. And that's the difficulty I've seen a few times on the nonprofit side, where you have someone, like you had mentioned, Don, that this is just one small part of the job. And how many times do you buy a new roof, right? And that's what these systems do, is that, okay, you don't have to be an expert at buying a roof. You know, you just need to know the process, you know, where to get the qualified suppliers from. And then you go through your process. And as long as you haven't skipped steps, you know, there's a high probability you have an outcome that is right for you, that's economical and efficient.
Okay. Great. When we talk about economies of scale, the process, there is some economies of scales through this as well?
Yeah, the system and methodology facilitates the opportunity for folks who aren't competing with each other but are in the same line of business to create what I call grouped requests for proposals, and then create master contracts from those requests for proposals. So, for instance, an electrician in Boston, one in Los Angeles, one in Texas, one in Allentown, they don't compete with each other, but they buy a lot of the same stuff. There's no reason why, you know, a master contract couldn't be developed for those electricians. And then each electrician could use the platform separately to cut their own purchase orders and just reference the master contract. And that can also can be done in group settings, you know, like LinkedIn or on Facebook. You know, there are many groups on Facebook that have a lot of common interests. And
that's a great idea. I had not thought about that, but you're right, because I'm joining groups sometimes on LinkedIn. So you could have a group of electricians who have a group on LinkedIn, and they say, you know what, wouldn't it be cool if we could all get together?
Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, and this is not something that I've quoted, but it's something from a gentleman who's long been in the purchasing field, education and training, is that, you know, buyers don't get what they deserve. They get what they negotiate. Okay, so we give them the opportunity to create the template, to create an offer, to create a request for proposal, to create a contract, to communicate online, okay, and document everything that you're doing, and even negotiate online. So this is something that, you know, it's a little bit disruptive and somewhat revolutionary, because small and medium-sized businesses have not had the opportunity for affordable technology. The everyday consumer, if, as you said before, if the everyday consumer wanted to put a roof on their house, and you told them, well, you know, you ought to put out a formal request for quotation, you ought to send it to vetted suppliers, and then you ought to negotiate, and then you ought to select one, and then you ought to cut a contract, your own contract, and with your own terms and conditions, your own method of payment, and follow the performance through the internet to the contract, they'd look at you and say, well, I don't know how to do that, because they've never had the opportunity to do it before. So we wanted to give everyone the opportunity to be able to do a personalized, professional purchasing and payment.
Okay. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other tools on the website for education. Sure. And this is also powerful, especially for those folks who might be entrepreneurs thinking about starting your own business, or someone who might be part of an association or group that would benefit from master contracts, and this might sound interesting to them. So when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Don Jean, co-founder of FocusedBuyer.com. For questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Lehigh Valley weather, currently 61 degrees. Our forecast tonight, mostly clear with a low around 40. Thursday, sunny with a high near 71. The outlook for Thursday night, partly cloudy, low around 45. Friday, there's a slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 73. And on the weekend, Saturday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 81. And Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 82. We return now to Your Financial Choices with your host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Neil. Welcome back to the show, folks. I have in the studio with me this evening Don Jean, co-founder of FocusedBuyer.com, but also entrepreneur and innovator, which is what first got me interested in talking with Don. The show we do every week, talk about different financial choices, different ideas, different concepts, talking about being proactive, not reactive. For those folks who are thinking about doing something, maybe their own business, maybe you're someone who works for an organization that might not have enough hands on deck, who might be looking at purchasing systems, software that you can't afford, this is an alternative for that. But Don, also talking about, again, your age and experience and the entrepreneurial traits that you have, let's take the last few minutes. And of course, folks, if you have questions, we still have plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. But I'd like to kind of open up the floor to you to kind of talk about sharing some of these ideas that you've had, this concept, how the concept developed. I know that you have a patent or were working on a patent. I find that fascinating. So I'm opening up the floor to you to kind of just talk to us, share your experiences with us.
Thanks, Lori. So first, I'll talk about one of the other goals that we have. So in addition to helping folks spend their money wisely and safer, in addition to trying to protect people from fraud and embezzlement, we also have a goal of helping educate employees of those small businesses and nonprofits and social organizations in the ways of purchasing and payments and things of that nature. So we have two unique things. One, we have a user guide that's online. So following in Apple's footsteps, which is very no user guides. You have to kind of figure it out yourself. We decided to put a user guide, but it's online. Okay, and it takes you through the process. It's in the navigation bar on the homepage at FocusedBuyer.com. And we also wanted to give employees the opportunity to role play in being buyers and sellers. So we have a separate URL link, which when folks register and sign up to use FocusedBuyer.com on a regular basis, we give to them. And their employees then can role play as buyers and sellers and go through the complete process. In addition to that, what we said is a lot of folks coming out of school these days have not been ever exposed to procurement and purchasing.
Procurement, big word for purchasing.
Big word for purchasing. But they haven't been trained. There are certain schools, that have majors and focuses in there, but majority of them don't. And so they just get a smattering of that. But our site, the education and training URL, is also available to institutions for their business curriculum to allow students to role play as buyers and sellers as well.
That's interesting, just because, you know, I was a business major. You guys have your MBAs, both of you. So what did we get in college? We got marketing, we got tax, we got law, maybe, management, communications. But this is really some of the nuts and bolts of business, really, this buying and selling, right?
Yeah. It's part of supply chain, and that's just over the hill here at Lehigh. They have a program in that. But it's relatively new, and now you're seeing people coming out of college studying this on purpose, as opposed to doing other things in a company and then deciding, oh, I kind of like this, and I'm going to try this out.
But here's a way to actually role play, give them the opportunity to feel like they're doing it.
Yeah, it's hands-on. It's all through the Internet. It's all delivered through the Internet. And you can be in decentralized places, and you can be a buyer, and you can be a seller. And so someone could be in their dorm room in dorm A, and someone could be in dorm C, and they could be role-playing as buyers and sellers.
Now, is this through institution, like colleges only, or...
No,
you said small businesses could take advantage of it,
sure,
as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So we wanted to make it available to those folks who came to our site and use our site on a regular basis to help train their employees. So we put that together as an opportunity.
That's great.
And really and truly, you know, when you think about it, the economy really runs on demand, and demand is coming from buyers. Okay, so sellers and suppliers will go where buyer demand is. But, you know, consumer purchases are roughly 70% of the economy. Okay, and when you tack on business purchases, generally the economy runs on buying, selling, and trading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's been that way for centuries, and it'll be that way till time forever, where folks are buying, selling, and trading. So we wanted to give all those folks throughout time the opportunity to have a tool to do it professionally. When it comes to the patent, you know, that's an interesting process. We wrote up the requirements and specifications, and we put it in a sealed envelope, and we mailed it to ourselves. And so that was our way of divulging the idea. That's no longer the case. 2 years ago, the change was made, and now you have to be first to have applied for a patent as opposed to first who has disclosed the patent. So anyway, we were still under the old rules, and we disclosed. And then we put a preliminary patent application in August of 2008, and then a final one in January of 2009. And we didn't get the patent until very late in the year of 2013. And
so it's a process. It takes a while.
It's a process.
So for folks out there who are thinking about starting a business, have a new idea.
It's definitely a process. And one of the things that you'll encounter is what is known as prior art. And the patent examiners in Washington will send you a lot of it. I have about 4 foot from the ceiling, from the floor up of prior art. That I had to read line by line, okay, and refute, okay, and counter. And I also had to move from one patent attorney to another patent attorney in order to get the right language for it to happen. But we actually have a patent that's a 20-year patent on the methodology and system in terms of purchasing and payment.
Because it hadn't been out there before.
Yeah, it's a different take. I mean, everybody says, well, yeah, the technology's there, and the prior art that they gave us was all about sellers who create sites, and they put their products up for sale, and a buyer can go to that site, and they can sort through the site, and they can pick stuff, and then they can go to checkout and determine how they want to pay for it. We call that a push site, okay? But ours is a pull site where the buyer is in complete control. So the buyer is determining exactly what it is they want to buy, and then the buyer is sending those requests out to the suppliers for the suppliers to respond to them. So it's a complete 360 or 180 degree opposite view of how the process works.
Mm-hmm. And suppliers, do they have to sign up for the site as well?
Yeah, the registration process, because it's interactive between buyers and sellers, buyers have to be registered on the site. It only takes a few minutes to register. Sellers also and suppliers also have to be registered on the site to use the site. Now, if a buyer makes their request for proposal or a request for information public, anybody in the world can go on our site and find it by looking at the categories where there are open public requests for information or requests for proposals. You don't have to be registered to find it, but you do have to be registered in order to make an offer back to the buyer.
Okay, and they would have that opportunity at that point. If they go online, they see that someone's interested in hiring me to do their roof. I see that, and where I might not have been a registered seller on that site, then I can register at that time.
Right, register at that time.
Okay.
And we created over 4,000 categories of products and services so that in order to put a request for proposal out, you only need 11 fields to fill in, but one of them is a category field so that you know, sellers and suppliers around the world can find you by the categories of what people are trying to buy in. We also created 600 database fields total, but again, only 11 are required, one of them being the category field. And we did that so that the interactivity would be strong, okay? Mm-hmm. So really buyers, business buyers can start using the site today. I mean, almost all businesses and nonprofits and social organizations, they have a current set of suppliers. So they can register today, okay, get their suppliers registered,
okay,
and they can start doing their practice fully online today.
Okay, I see. So that would also build up those suppliers available on the site as because if I want to use that for the ability to have the terms and conditions and the process oversight as well for approval and things like that in my business, I just tell my suppliers to go there.
Yeah, okay. I tell my suppliers that I'm using this affordable technology in order to manage my purchasing and payment process, and I'd like you to register to use the site as well so that we can be interactive in this process.
Okay, so if we have a couple minutes left, so what would you say, give me some kind of takeaways from this whole process for you, your career to starting your own business to FocusBuyer.com and what you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, again, our goal is to give back to society, okay, and not let our education, experience, and expertise vaporize. So that's what our goal is with FocusBuyer.com. And we also want to change the way folks have a business tool in order to do their buying. And we've accomplished that. We're in what we call soft beta live now. So we went through an alpha live stage where we did regression testing of the software and the code and fixed bugs and glitches. And then we went into what we call soft beta live. And we've been doing that for about half a year or so. And we're still working on fixing some bugs and glitches.
Which we had talked before, and I said I've used the same tax software for 15 years, and there's always something, because there's always changes. So
there's always changes, it can be devastating. But the good news with our software is that it's cloud-based on servers. So folks don't have to get a packaged release of something and pay for it and then install it on their system. We make the changes, okay? The changes are made one time, and they're on our servers, which are subcontracted servers. I'll give a little bit of credit to iNetU, who's an Allentown company. They're our server company that handle our servers and back up our servers. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do is ask folks to give it a trial. There's no downside to giving it a trial, and to give us feedback, okay, so that we can improve upon it even more.
Well, I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your experiences and your concepts and development and entrepreneurial spirit, etc. So thank you, Don, for being here. Don Jean from FocusedBuyer.com. Thank you for being here. And Carl, thank you for being here as well. Mm-hmm. Neil, thanks for being here. Judy Ann, thank you for being here. Next week, we have Dan Banks from Silver Crest Insurance to discuss navigating Medicare and your healthcare options. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.